If you turn on any local television news program, you are bound to hear about some gang-related killing. But just like stories from any official war zone, there are many more people injured, often maimed for life, whose stories are never told.
I really wasn't having no pain from the gunshot wounds at all. It wasn't bleeding, and I was just feeling like a burning sensation, like in every point where I got shot at.
Freddie, who did not want his real name used, was paralyzed from the waist down in a gang-related shooting 12 years ago.
Thank God that people was very close, so majority of the bullets went straight through.
Freddie lived one block from the University of Southern California, where he says he grew up into the local gang called the Bloods. He and his friends made a living by robbing the students' cars that lined the streets around campus. But eventually, he graduated to drug dealing.
I wind up being in this neighborhood, going to school every day, seeing the local dope dealer and gangbangers on the corner, and looked like they had a pretty nice life to me. They always had girls around them. They drive nice cars, so I wanted to be a part of that.
Linda Muccitelli is an occupational therapist who has worked with many injured gang members. She says the key to understanding why people join gangs in the first place is to understand their environment.
But I think the more that I've come to talk to these individuals, that a lot of this isn't so much a choice, a conscious choice, or a choice of free will that they're making. It's they're growing up into this environment.
She says this is true for everyone.
I mean, if I think back to when I was 5 or 6, I don't know that I was questioning things with discerning mind about what choices I was making. I was doing whatever was in my environment and whatever my parents presented to me, and it didn't happen to be gang related.
Oftentimes, all of the siblings in a family are involved. 4 of Freddie's brothers were in gangs, and each was shot 2 to 3 different times. Still, he continued gang banging.
I seen my brothers go in the hospital 2 and 3 different times, come home, maybe got a cane. They sit around the house for the next week, not really doing too much. All the homeboys come by shaking their hands, and it was almost like you was gaining stripes as an officer or military every time you got shot.
But according to Freddie, the key problem is that there are few alternatives to gang membership in neighborhoods like his.
They don't have anything to do. And when these kids have all this time on their hands, no community center to go to, no big brother that come pick them up, they probably a child from a single family. They don't understand that they could die. Right now, it's just being younger people. They want to be a part of something so bad that they'll join anything. They don't care what the consequences are.
But as the recent shooting death of 14-year-old Brian Lee Jr. demonstrated, simply keeping kids out of gangs doesn't necessarily keep them safe.
But I don't think me at the time thinking that if I left the gang right then and there, I don't think that would have prevented me from getting shot.
Douglas Hudgens was Freddie's first physical therapist. Douglas says that when Freddie came to him after the shooting, he was crippled as much by depression as he was by his injury.
His emotional state was he was kind of down and out, depressed. He didn't think that he could do anything, especially with his life.
Now Freddie tries to at least reduce the chance of injuries like his by helping kids to avoid gangs.
How has your life changed?
Me taking 5 shots and being 25 years old, that's like the lifespan of a gang member is 25. I already had 4 kids. I had lived my life a lot, you know. I just felt that God saved me and wanted me to be here to educate people about spinal cord injury and gang violence, and also to take care of my kids.
But Douglas is disturbed by the sheer number of gun violence victims that continue to come through his rehabilitation center.
It's a war zone. We have insurgents down there in what? Okay, Willowbrook.
I don't know, and I started thinking, I think, well, do people just don't know? Do they? Maybe they just don't know about what I've seen or what's truly happening, and maybe if they did know, they would have as much concern.
With the care for a wheelchair-bound victim reaching as high as $2 to $3 million a year, the cost to taxpayers and society is enormous.
So maybe that's the angle at which we should approach the public and say, because of this and how much taxpayers' money is going to rehab these individuals, and not just immediately following the rehabilitation, lifelong care for an individual that has been affected by gang violence.
Douglas says we have the resources to address the problem.
I still feel that since we are providing so much for defense, billions of dollars, so much can be set aside for those individuals who are incapacitated by a gunshot wound.
For these individuals who have seen the results of domestic gun violence, from different perspectives, they agree on one thing. The effect of neglecting the problem will eventually reach far beyond gangland borders. This is Pam White for Annenberg Radio News.